Okay, welcome everybody to the annual parish meeting being held on Tuesday the 29th of May. Agenda item one, to receive any apologies for absence.
Apologies received from Councillor Silmarie, Councillor Buxton.
Okay, and because this is the annual parish meeting and therefore different, we don't have to vote to accept the apologies. Councillor Hart,
three of her children unexpectedly arrived this evening and said, hello mum.
Okay, thank you. The next agenda item is to receive the minutes of the annual parish meeting held on the 8th of May 2017. The minutes of that meeting were actually agreed by council on Monday the 22nd of May 2017. I think the clerk at the time wanted to have them agreed while it was fresh in our minds, so they have been agreed. No comments. Excellent. So the three then report on aspects of the meeting held on the 8th of May. On the 22nd of May, there was nothing to comment back on. But I think since then, the only thing to note is the action 10, the public forum, where it's talking about yellow lines in the high street. That was something that was subsequently talked about by the maintenance working party, and the view was that it wasn't something that had been recommended by the Skanska road survey that we'd had, and therefore it wasn't something that the parish council wished to pursue. And Mrs Tupper and some other residents who'd raised that point were written to at the time and given the answer. So I don't think you haven't been briefed on anything else arising. No. So I don't know, has anyone got anything to say on the content of the minutes? No? Okay then, agenda item four, to receive a report from the chair of Melbourne Parish Council. I noted in the minutes of the last time Councillor Hart commented on the lengthy report from the chair. It is less lengthy this year.
Comprehensive.
Yes.
Budget length.
So I don't know whether anyone has any comments or questions on my report. No? Okay. In that case, we can take that as read and move on to five, which is to receive reports from committees and working parties of the Parish Council. And the first one of those is made. I don't know, Councillor Hales, did you write that report in the end? Or Councillor Cowley? I thought you did.
The assistant to the clerk informed me that the report that she emailed to me was written by herself.
Yes, I did, Jane.
Yes. Would you care to comment on anything in that report, since you remember it so well?
Unfortunately, there is a small error in my remembering it. Obviously, I've written quite a few things. I can't think of anything else to say. Other than what was in the report, as read, Chair.
Absolutely. Any questions for Councillor Cowley, who's now the Chair of MAID, or District Councillor Hales? No? No questions? Okay, thank you. The next one then is the Planning Committee. We don't have the Chair of the Planning Committee here, but we do have the Vice Chair. So I don't know, Councillor Hart, whether you wish to say anything?
Just to add, one of the comments I mentioned to Steve when he sent this through was really the large number of documents that need to be reviewed by the Planning Committee as part of the larger development, and just sometimes how much energy one needs in order to get through those, and it's mm-hmm. great to be having access to them online, but sometimes actually looking at them in the flesh of it is as easy as then when there are 50 documents, you know, it's a bit of a challenge. So, and I know it was once later I was going to speak to Councillor Van Fenn, although it might have been the right person, mm-hmm. to feedback, really, I guess it needs to be about subcans, how it does seem, I know there was a task at times, and we're getting all that documentation.
Talking about it this very often.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on the report from the Planning Committee? No? The next one then is Finance and Governance Committee. This has been for part of the year without a chair, and so I actually did the report for this one. So there isn't really anything I want to add, except hopefully this year it will have a chair and a vice chair, and we'll actually get up and start looking at the governance stuff, because we concentrated on the financial aspects last year. So any questions?
Okay, so in terms of the makeup of the Finance and Good Governance, it's a committee, so
yes.
So we made up of councillors, not members of the public.
Yes.
And then would members so for example the clerk and the RFO, would there be an expectation that they attended?
Yes,
absolutely.
I intend
to clap all of them.
Right. Yes, and Gabby attended the ones after she joined us. Yeah. I think we had two when she attended, because that was when we were setting the budget for the precept. Right. So she was heavily involved.
So that would be just recorded as were in attendance rather than members of that group.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent.
Any other questions?
No.
No? Okay, the next committee then is the HR panel. Councillor Hart, I don't know if you want to say anything. You've been very busy as a panel this year.
We have been very busy, man. I'm actually thinking when we get asked about sort of looking back at the previous 12 months, you know, and then how far we've come in terms of our terms of reference and finding the human resources that the village needs, bearing in mind how the village has developed. Feel pleased about that. I was going to mention the internal audit. Is that in the public domain, the internal audit?
The one recently concluded?
Yes.
No, not yet.
Okay, but we'll be just to...
Council will officially receive it at the next meeting of the full council, which is 25th of June.
So without going into much detail, we felt pleased to see that something's mentioned there that we had already looked at and we are developing, so that feels very... feels satisfying to me. People would say we are a panel of five. We have four members. I mean, obviously, we'll need to get re-established, but we have one vacancy. But having five seems we're working okay with four. But anybody else would like to join the HR panel?
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the HR panel? No. Okay then, and the final committee working party is the maintenance working party, and Councillor Travis is chair of this. Do you wish to make any
comments? Well, the status of this was covered off fairly completely at the last parish council meeting, but just very briefly, this working party began life halfway through last year, took on the role of trying to cover the work of, I've got it written down here so I don't forget, but it's highways, conservation, cemeteries, play areas and recreation subcommittees as they were manifested in the previous council arrangements. So it was a massive amount of work, and I think we've done quite well in bringing it to order.
The meetings are a lot shorter now.
The meetings are getting shorter, yes, which is obviously a good sign. Yes. So, and the intention is to turn this back into a committee with a formal clerking arrangements, which seems appropriate. No more to say, really.
Okay, thank you. Any questions about the work of the maintenance working party? No? In that case, we'll move on to agenda item 6, which is to receive reports from the parish council representatives on village charities and other organisations. So the first one was the Triggs charity. Val Barrett isn't here to answer questions, but I don't know if anyone did have any questions.
No.
We'll ask the clerk to forward them to her. No? Okay, Martin's charity. I think if you've looked at the minutes from the last meeting, the state of knowledge about Martin's charity is very well summed up there, that we're just not closing it down because we're not using it, but we're not closing it down, and we're just keeping a watching brief. The Doncleer Almshouses, which is Mrs. Mavis Howard. Again, Mrs. Howard isn't here, but if anyone does have any questions, then we could have them passed on to her. Okay. The next one is the Melbourne Mobile Warden Scheme. District Councillor Hales. Any questions for District Councillor Hales? No? Melbourne and Meldrith Lunch Club. Again, District Councillor Hales. Any questions for District Councillor Hales? You can't ask yourself a question, District Councillor Hales. Would you like to say something?
I was going to say that it's going extraordinarily well, but almost unanimously, the guests, dinner guests, don't necessarily like the name Stew with the... because it can sometimes be difficult to...
Right.
Just a point.
Okay. Well, in that case, would the Parish Council like to take a vote to say that the Luncheon Club should never serve lamb stew again?
That have the option. I should abstain anyway. So. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Right, F, the grants awarded. I think the clerk has just told me that some... We had the majority of the reports because they had come in with applications for another grant. The assistant clerk's been chasing the ones we hadn't got, and they are being compiled, and they will be included in the annual report when it's all pulled together. Okay, then, agenda item 7, to receive reports from district councillors Hart and Hales. Anything to add, District Councillor Hales? Any questions for District Councillor Hales? No? 8, to receive a report from County Councillor Van der Ven. Councillor Van der Ven, would you like to say anything?
I
did
send in a report.
Yes,
it's included.
Sorry, I don't know whether you would like to highlight anything or add to it.
Yes.
Yes, please do.
The pothole disaster. We have not only no local highways officer, of course he's been with for many months, but today we have a surprise farewell from the boss. So these are impossible jobs on the staff of discipline.
Sorry, I think there was a question about who the boss is.
So the two people who assist us in Melbourne on the ground with our drainage issues, our pothole and highways, all the really critical stuff, and are very, very good and did their best. We lost Peter Taylor a few months ago. They couldn't fill his post. His boss, Evan Laughlin, has been doing his own job, plus Peter Taylor's job. We were in the hub a few days ago, and I received a farewell at end of business today. That's the state of things, I'm sorry to say. There's no point of contact with any meaningful contact.
Okay, any questions at all, Councillor Van der Ven?
Yes. Is Simeon Carroll still in post?
Yes, Simeon is a local highways officer, but not for Melbourne.
No.
But his equivalent gone a few months ago, and their boss now gone.
I have been informally liaising with him with regards to Melbourne issues, and he's been very helpful.
Okay.
That may well continue, if there's no one else.
Yeah, the trouble is, they get given more work than they're supposed to do, the burden's too great, and the job is getting impossible. There's just a trend.
Councillor Hart.
The result of the social media Twitter with the ducks, any results in people listening and getting involved? Or?
It seemed to help.
Yeah. I've heard another thing that might draw attention to potholes, but it's probably not subtle, but I won't mention it in the
movie, but it was scuba divers. It helps to draw attention to how ridiculous the situation is.
Absolutely. It's been with the rain we've had recently.
Storms. Yeah. It won't get any better.
Yeah. Okay, District Councillor Hales.
Thank you, Chair. This is the news that Councillor Van der Ven has given us is actually devastating, actually. It's not just bad news, it's devastating. If you'll notice that there's been an awful lot of
repairs done to our potholes within Melbourne itself over these last couple of weeks. That's as a result of Mr. Lachlan working his magic. As you rightly said, Peter Taylor was the officer doing the work on the ground and reporting to Evan. When Peter moved on, Evan got his job to do, and Peter's. It's just, the straw on the camel is an understatement. I am actually, along with Lovely now, I'm actually stunned, quite frankly. This doesn't put the south of Cambridge, because Evan was the south of Cambridge, right?
That was
the man responsible for all of that. And there is only one way for us to have any kind of issues now, and that's downwards. This is awful. I would urge the parish council and councillors to discuss this, perhaps at another meeting, but to perhaps write to County Council Highways Department in the strongest terms to say that this is just an untenable situation that they have put the residents of Melbourne in, quite frankly, because it is woeful. I don't know where this is going to go. We've fought for a long time to get these potholes and negotiated and what have you to get them filled. And they've done a superb job. The contractors are brilliant. But they have to be given the directive from above. And if there is nobody from above.
Sorry, Councillor Van Ven, do you want to respond to that?
I can respond at the end if you want.
Oh, okay, right. Councillor Clark.
Obvious question. How many claims is the council getting from motorists, etc.? And are they responding to these in a sympathetic way, or are they just trying to look for the rule book to get themselves out of it? Because the more claims that come in, it's going to be which way do you go? Do you employ the staff to do the job, or do you just carry on paying out the claims?
Yeah, I have asked some detailed questions about claims, and specifically because so many people have told me I'm not going to bother filing a claim, and so that prompted me to ask, to say people are not even willing to file a claim, but Evan always gave us the real figures. So we've had 4 to 5 times more claims this year than last year, and but the way the rules, legally, the way the insurance works is, you know, if they are fulfilling their agreed statutory duty, which is to inspect a road according to the schedule that has been agreed, which may be just once a year, and it has not been, something has not been reported within that statutory period. If something hasn't been reported, then it's very difficult to process a claim. So that's why I'm always urging people to report. Then there's a problem because not all the stuff that gets reported is marked up. So then if you're the motorist or the cyclist and you have an accident, then you have to somehow be able to ascertain, even if it isn't marked up, whether it was reported. So it's a huge hassle. These are all the logical questions. They're employing staff, of course, to deal with the bureaucracy of collapse all around the council. Mm. I would absolutely urge any pressure not to be put on the highways department, because they are given a budget, a joke budget. It's not their fault. There are a whole series of political decisions, frankly. It's the political decision makers who need to be held to account. The highways department gets held to account all the time, but they're doing their best in an absolutely hideous situation and choosing to walk because the job was so stressful. I mean, Evan was dealing with stuff on Sundays. We have regular Sunday night, more pothole correspondence all weekend. They've got to be a norm. Mm. So I wouldn't be looking to put more pressure on. My meeting I'm meeting next week the director of highways just to catch up about stuff. And you know, and he's a good man. And you have to hope that he's not going to go because he's got the knowledge of how this place works. What we're going to lose now, even though we can report stuff online, we're going to lose the knowledge of the Melbourne drainage system and what was done last year on that little spot there and that kind of thing. That's the really, really critical stuff. So I'm really sorry to report it.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for County Councillor Vanderven?
When is there going to be good news?
I think I mentioned in my report where are we headed? Maybe no more County Council. Sold the building. Assets are being diminished. So I think it's going to get frankly worse before it gets better.
If I
can,
any more questions?
Sorry.
On a lighter note, I know this public drainage system is clean, so as long as I don't
queue up,
you'll
be
okay.
Actually, good way to thank you, Mr. Evans, for asking for it to be passed on.
Thank
you. Right then, agenda item 9, to consider any matters brought before the annual parish meeting. I think the clerk will confirm that there have been no matters brought forward. And in that case, we move straight on to 10, the public forum. So, I will suspect that I have to suspend standing orders.
No, it's not, no. It's not a council meeting.
Right.
Does that mean we can comment it on previous things that we've discussed?
Yes, you can say what you like.
I didn't realise that. I thought we were sort of... sorry. So, it's just when somebody mentioned yellow lines earlier on, it's not about the yellow line. There's just one area that causes a bit of a concern. The crossroads between New Road and Mordew Road. There's a... On the corner, the yellow lines go round. But could they be extended to the person that the house is, that the driveway?
Okay, these are different yellow lines. The yellow lines we were talking about before in the high street.
Yeah, this,
yes.
There is a white vehicle, since the car park's been disbanded for the school, not being used, the cars are parking all the way up in the road. And it's not going to get any better. To go down there now is sort of a bit of a task. But one particular, which I think is a danger, and a lot of people commented about it, is it causes traffic jams. There's a white car parked there every day in the same spot.
Right.
And when you go around that corner, cars, it's causing a problem. So just a few feet of extra yellow lines.
Right.
We
wouldn't know that.
It's a small point. I understand.
Yeah.
But it was when that was mentioned earlier. Yeah. You also mentioned members of the public, finance and good governance.
Yes.
Is there positions open on that particular committee now for members of the public to be part of it?
Not the way that it is constituted at the moment. There is nothing to stop members of the public being on the committees, but they can't vote on finance issues.
They can't vote on any issues that the committee would consider, you are correct.
But they can raise questions.
They can ask questions about agenda items, yes. Certainly.
Yeah, it's very difficult. You see, it's fairly empty again today. I mean, the last time I came was one of the very few people that have attended, which was different to when I first started attending. But that was part of that would have been for different reasons. I'd like to ask the council generally, because when I sit here and listen to some of the conversations that take place, it sometimes crosses my mind the lack of questioning about some of the projects and discussions that take place, that people don't really, I'm not seeing some pertinent questions that should be perhaps raised. One of the questions I'd like to ask, I've seen the report from yourself, Madam Chairman, and you put in there the expenditure.
Yep.
Budget versus
actual.
There are a couple of things in there that I've sort of found a bit of concern. Did the rest of the council feel that those were acceptable figures? Has a discussion been had about
The report in where those figures were was received and discussed by the council at the annual parish council meeting.
Yeah,
so the last
I apologise because I didn't
and we had the RFO present to answer questions. And what you don't get with this, because it's a summary, was the RFO's commentary on the actual, the reasons for the differences.
Yes, because the staffing costs, which I would have thought to budget for a year would have been fairly, is that not something that would be fairly straightforward, or has that been increased because we've had an RFO taken on halfway through the year?
It's
parish counts, parish clerks changing.
The budget was set on the basis of the clerk at the time not continuing to work 4 days a week, going back to the 3 days that she was contracted to do. And for various reasons, that didn't happen. There was also a short period when the co-warden joined, when they did double working as training for Dennis. We didn't budget for an RFO at the beginning of the year.
It's something like that. I would have thought could have been fairly accurate, but you've explained the reasons why. Apologies that I didn't hear.
No, I say unfortunately this is a summary, and it was in the longer commentary.
I'm one of those people that does take time to listen to the recordings of the meetings. I didn't the last one, just in there, because it was quite a long one, wasn't it? And I couldn't fancy it. I do have questions around the hub and support grant. I read stuff in the pro and comments that are being made by members of the public that they're keyboard warriors. I'd like to see more people coming and discussing these sort of things with members of the council. First and foremost, the committee that are running it are trying to do a fantastic, are really working hard. I appreciate that. But I do wonder how much longer hub support grants can be done. Because it wasn't just the hub support grant. That in itself is 9% of the precept. There's been a further charge for the extras that have gone through as well, the 22. Instead of not just the 14,500, it was over 22,000 that had come to it. How long is that going to be able to continue? Because the hub has been here for now, 6-7 years?
Yes, I mean, I think if you followed the meetings, you'll know what the underlying reason this year was, because the hub had to register for VAT, which introduced the financial uncertainty.
Well, I appreciate that, but then that decision was delayed to, I buy something from a shop, I pay the full 20% VAT. The shop doesn't soak up part of that because we don't want to be too expensive. We have to pay. That decision was made that they will not charge us with VAT rise to the public.
Can I ask the chairman of the hub management group to comment on that specifically about whether all of the cost was absorbed, and then we'll go back to your other point. Sorry, Councillor Travis.
Duncan is quite right. The total impact of VAT was not absorbed. There are two reasons for that. There are two income streams to the hub, two principal income streams. One is from the cafe, and the other is from room hire. The cafe is a service which is very price sensitive. It's our mission to try and provide a sort of cost-effective, community-friendly space with good value food and drinks. We don't want to charge sort of cost for coffee type prices. And if we were going to absorb all of the VAT hit, that's what would have happened. So that's the cafe side of it. On the room side, VAT is not chargeable on rooms. So we can't charge VAT on rooms. So as soon as we hit the VAT trigger level, we opted to go for a flat rate scheme rather than the normal plus 20% scheme. It's all very technical stuff, which meant that we had to pay VAT at a rate of 11.5% on all turnover, including room turnover, where we are unable, according to VAT rules, unable to charge VAT. So on the one side, with room hire, we find it difficult to recover the VAT that we have to pay, because we can't charge VAT on empty spaces. It's to do with the way the VAT man regards rooms in terms of their added value when you hire them out. There is no added value on the space, so you can't charge VAT on it. Now on the cafe side, we didn't feel we could charge the full 20% VAT on cafe produce and cafe food and drinks, because we didn't think that that was either right or that the customers would take it. And so we are struggling. The VAT costs are hammering us. And the difference between what we pay in VAT now and what we receive in income, were we not to be paying VAT, we would be running a surplus. The surplus is denied us because of the VAT hit. So it's a very complex business. It may be possible to review the VAT arrangement we have with the tax man and go back to the 20% arrangement. That might just be slightly better now than the flat rate scheme that we're in, but it's very, very hard and seems very unjust as well that as a charity trying to produce a community service, as soon as we hit the VAT trigger, which is a sign of success, that we're penalised. We've paid something like £6,000 of VAT in the first quarter of this year. That'll give you some idea of how much it's hitting.
I'm not going to disagree with anything you're saying, John. What I'm looking at is, Mr. Travers, Councillor Travers, what I'm looking at is the costs. Yeah, I've had a 15% rise in my precept this year for the parish, as did everyone else. Now, a lot of people may comment on it, but they haven't got the desire, they're probably more apathetic without coming here and questioning why it's gone up by that amount and finding out why that is the case. But I, you know, like you guys probably have conversations with people who know your councillors, a lot of people know that I come here and I take questions from them.
Can I just respond to Duncan? Sorry, I'm saying Susan. You finished, Duncan, and then
I'll. Well, it was just coming back too, but I had no say in whether I paid that 15%, and it was just it. And as you know, listening to what you're saying, I've not got on to the other piece I want to talk about public consultations for extensions to the pub, major extensions. Okay,
Can we do the half finance first?
I just want to say is that, I'm seeing down here, and I've listened to other people, about the costs that it is to run. If you were to go to a bank with the business model that you've got for the hub, would they say, yeah, we're happy with the way the business is being run? I'm not criticising the effort that's being put in. Please understand that. But there comes a point when we're talking about things. I know potholes again isn't to do with parish, but the parish are paying 10%, close to 10% of the precept, subsidising. Now, if that's acceptable to the members of the public, that's fine. I'm raising it as a concern, a member of the public, to say that how long is this going to go on for?
Can I respond to some of that? The hub represents a public service, and as a public service, it's not unreasonable to expect the public, in terms of its council tax, to pay something towards that. And as it's been said by others many times, it's a bit like getting the grass cut. It's part of the public services which the public expect from the village. My mission as the chair of the hub management group is to try and reduce the cost to the taxpayer as far as it's possible to do so. And the current project to try and extend the hub and provide more room space is exactly that, because the room space is the part of the income stream which has the most margin. If we can increase that, I believe we can break even on this business. And that's why we're doing the extension. That's the reason for doing the extension. It's not a piece of vanity. Hard-headed business case.
I don't for one minute think it's a piece of vanity. That's not where I'm coming from, John. You know my views. We spent many hours at the meetings talking about that site. So it's nothing to do with vanity. It's about cost-benefit analysis. is about the public consultations that should be taking place. I understand that it's going to be fully funded by a grant.
No, sorry, but before we move on to that, can we finish the stuff about the finance? So coming back to the finance.
How much longer? And the answer might be forever.
The answer is we don't know. We consider it on a year by year basis.
But I don't hear any questions being raised or asked. And at the last meeting when I decided to leave early, the only questions that were being asked, there was only one question asked about that, I'm sorry, it is going back to the extension, when that was about to do with solar panels on the roof. Now, the thing is, there were other questions to say that we don't know how much we're going to lose in income whilst the building work's being done, but we think it might be. That's not cost-benefit analysis.
No, I know. But can I take you back to the Finance and General Governance Committee, where the financial director of the hub came along and was questioned by the committee on the background of the VAT and everything. So questions were asked there.
So the council backed the fact that they didn't fully increase the 20%, put the 20% to the public, to the people that purchased the goods.
The council wasn't asked what the strategy of the hub management group should be, because that's not the council's business, is it? Sorry, council.
Well, Duncan, this is what you're saying just is not recognising the reality of the marketplace. Now, you're saying, why didn't we increase the prices and increase the income? That's not the way a market works, as you well know. It doesn't work like that. If you increase the prices, some of the people won't come and buy your product and you get less income. We made a judgment call. We're running the business. It's our responsibility. We're directors of the company and trustees of the charity. It's our responsibility to make those decisions.
Can I come back to your original question, which was about members of the public on the finance committee? First of all, we have 6 vacancies for councillors. We will go for co-option. People who are interested in having a say in this can be co-opted to be a councillor, and they can sit around this table and they can ask the questions. So there is that opportunity there.
And they can vote as well, yes.
But so are you suggesting that we should have members of the public on the finance committee?
I read the report and it said that members of the public, none. And yes. When Councillor Hart raised the question she raised early on, I thought that might have developed, because I'd have raised it myself then, that he was asking, well, can members of the public be on this?
No, that's
the impression that document gave.
Yeah, that was because it was developed last year when we had working parties, yeah. And it covered both situations.
Okay, so if they can't be as part of it...
They can be, but they can't vote on financial matters.
Yeah, I said that, because it'd be something that is of interest, because the amount of, the thing that concerns me most about where the council is at the moment, where the village is at the moment, is the dire position regarding its finances. Yeah. And it's not helped, regardless of charity and all this sort of stuff, it's not helped by the 20-odd thousand pounds the hub has cost the village this year. Okay. And it's just a question. I'm not saying don't do it. That's down to the council to decide that. You guys have put yourself forward. But I just think sometimes more questions need to be asked as to why this is the case. Okay. I keep hearing about the cutbacks from the national level. I hear those all the time when I come to these meetings. Mm. But as same as the national, it's got to be paid for from somewhere. So where do you take the money from? Mm.
I'm sorry, do you want to move on now to the...
It was just around 2 months. 2 months ago, it was talked about one of the things that came out of working parties was that when there's large expenditure, and there wasn't a minimum figure put on that, but when large expenditure takes place, that there should be public consultation. I asked the question a couple of months ago, I heard that there was consultation with staff, and I heard there was consultation with another group, but there wasn't any consultation with customers of the hub, but there's still no notification of a public consultation. Now, I do understand maybe that's putting the horse before the cart, and that because you don't know if the grant money is...
Well, I think that's it. We have to be quite clear.
Having said that, I think the building and the extension of the hub, the cost, if the track record of the parish council when it comes to life expenditure is not very good. There has been huge overspends on work taking part, okay? The car park being the last one. £125,000 grant, that's fine. If you get it done and it's all paid for and everything, that's fine. My fear is that there may be an overspend. So who's going to pick that up? Another question. If the grant isn't gained and the head and the building doesn't go ahead and the extension doesn't go ahead because the funds are not there, are the council hub stroke hub still liable to pay for the drawings that have been done by the architects, or if they've done that on the basis that we're doing, we're getting business? Or is that going to come back? Will that come back as a bill?
No, it won't. That money is already covered. The parish council isn't paying it, and neither is the hub. It's being paid by a third party.
In openness and transparency?
It's a private. It's a private.
Would you like to hear from a third party?
It's a private matter. It's a private matter. Okay. I can't remember. The question was raised about public consultation. It's absolutely intended to do public consultation. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It will happen.
But will it be too late?
But what is too late? Public consultation will be at a point where the public had a say or can have an input into the way that the extension is used. In other words, how the internal design will be framed.
Well, can I just comment on that? Because nothing can go ahead without the parish council agreeing to it. And I think the parish council made it very clear in the discussions it had that it will not give the go-ahead unless there has been public consultation. Regardless of whether it's grant money or anything else, it's the parish council's building, and therefore the parish council has to make a resolution to agree for the building work to happen. Okay. County Council, then.
Would it be all right? I realise this is a bit of a technical discussion in a way, but I keep meaning, wanting to put this into my report because I do give you so much bad news at that pothole. I mean, in that overall picture, and this has been the trend, parish councils have a growing burden, and it is in social services are so expensive, but there's so many responsibilities that have come down to parish councils, and the other villages that I represent don't have they look to what Melbourne is doing. Really, I mean, they come here regularly. I met somebody today from the bus user group who came from Gildenmore. She comes to Melbourne all the time, walks to Fillmore's, goes to the hub. And people from Basingford coming to look at what's happening here because the library is thriving in this environment. And I go and sit in their library, very few people come through. I mean, it's an enormous accomplishment, but it costs money. And the point about highways, and the reason I said please don't go in and don't deliver your criticism to the highways department but to the politicians, it's because it takes money to pay for public services. And the council has decided to freeze council tax year after year after year on the pretext of saving people money. But it's a false economy, and it's causing public services to go down the drain. So I think, parish councils are at ground level, and I it's just a general comment, but I would,
The point you're making is, Susan, I understand other outside people can see what a wonderful building this is and how it's just the community. And I believe that there's a lot of people that use it.
I think it's an enormous, you could talk about C and B, you could talk about, the people who are coming through the doors here who need CAB, and the kind of casework that CAB is now receiving, and it's a trend. It's an absolute gold service for this community, and to see it in context, other communities desperately need it, and if they don't have the leadership in the parish council to deliver it, it won't happen. So, it's the annual meeting, so I would also like to say, well done. It's not to say that it's not important, it's absolutely important to ask questions, but something very, very powerful has been delivered, and it does cost money. And the question before, where are we headed? There's more and more burden on the local community, and thank goodness if there's, it's not easy. I'll stop.
Councillor Hart, it's just a couple of comments really about, because I think you are very much a person who believes in public consultation, have said many times how we need to be asking people before we make decisions, I remember it was the flagpole, I've got the flagpole into a meeting, there we are. But it's not about doing things, it's about asking people. And as somebody who also volunteers at the hub and washes up as often as I can, just to see the amount of people that do come in and really value being able to have a space in the village where they can bring their children to change books, and the amount of children that come in, preschool children, and then the children coming after school, they've got a safe space to be in. And some students come to the village college and come during the summer and do their homework while they have a drink. And we are providing a service to the village. Now, I realise not everyone in the village uses it, because they might choose to go somewhere else. But in terms of the consultation, I'm aware of the meeting that the Hub did where you presented your annual report. I don't know if you attended that meeting.
What public consultation?
The annual general meeting. So it's open to everybody to come, and that was on the agenda, the information that was there. There was a meeting also held with staff and volunteers before that to talk about the planning. But I would really encourage you.
I was unaware of the meeting being on. I did hear it took place, but it was after the event. Yeah. If I'd have known it was on, I would have come along. But
it was published on the website and in the newspaper
It was heavily advertised. But I would really encourage you. Obviously, I'm sitting here thinking that there are lots of people like yourself and our gentlemen come regularly to ask questions.
Use the word criticise if you want.
I mentioned about the amount of documentation that the planning community need to look through. And I'm mindful sometimes I'm not going to miss something. And that's why we need public scrutiny, I would call it. And I would also encourage you to consider being one of the people who puts themselves forward to be co-opted onto the council, because that's how I came into being on the council, and I learned so much more, and then I also could vote. So. And even if your vote doesn't change the majority decision, at least you might feel that people might feel they've had a say, and it gets recorded. So perhaps just encourage you perhaps to think about that a bit more. And we will be talking about it more at the village fete, I believe.
We will, absolutely. Councillor Clark.
Yeah, just to sort of, in a way, respond to District Councillor Hart and Councillor Hart. I came from a smaller parish council. I joined this parish council. I got co-opted on. We were struggling, really, to find anything to do in our village. This place is an absolute godsend. I speak to young parents, new people in the village. They are pleased that we're engaging on the social responsibility side of things. That is extremely important to young families. To have a library, children don't read books. They love it in here, they read books. And the parents are thanking whoever they believe in for that fact. Because there is something here that a lot of other places would die for. But where I came from, our precept was a lot smaller, and we had very little opportunity to do anything because we just didn't have the money. Now we have money here which comes in, and we painstakingly go through absolutely everything and make sure that we're doing the right thing by the people that are residents.
Are you talking about this? You're painstakingly this council?
I'm talking about this council, yes. Yeah. Now, I'm very, very impressed with what I've seen since I've come here. Now, I've been a councillor now just under a year, I think. But the whole point of this, what I'm trying to get to, is we have a social responsibility to people in our district. We can pick and choose. We could pick to do that. We could pick to turn all the street lights off. We could do this. We could do that. But spending a little bit of money on good things for the benefit of the community, just for a small increase in a precept, I think is a brilliant thing. And I haven't met one person that has actually criticised what's gone on. In fact, so many of the people are saying, we're really pleased with what you're doing, keeping the play parks going, keeping the hub library going. Mums can meet for the coffee mornings, the elderly people can come and have lunch. It's a social environment for elderly people. Elderly people get forgotten about in a lot of different places. They can come here, they know they're going to be warmly received, warmly welcomed. That's a benefit to this community. Now, we do debate all these sort of things very, very seriously. And Councillor Travers came under an awful lot of questions about the extensions here. But the whole point of it is, eventually, this will break even. It will happen because the community is increasing in size. There is, you know, if you want to look at it, a medium to long term plan. Now, nobody can actually predict exactly what's going to happen next week, next year, but the village size is increasing. More people will want to use this place. It's a financial inevitability that there will be a balancing out, but to define the timing, but you have to invest, you know, speculate to accumulate to some degree. But, you know, I say I'm relatively new to this town.
I remember when you joined. I've been involved in these council meetings for about 3 years, so I know the history. I was also involved in the car park committee and all that side of it, and so I know where the expenditure is.
Yeah, I think you have to move. We have to move on from the car park.
I'm sorry, Councillor Clark. You can't sit there and say your piece and then say something like that to me. I'm here as a member of the public, just trying to raise some questions that I feel should be looked at and discussed. I'm not making personal criticisms to anyone in this room, okay? I'm here to raise things. I've had a lot of answers from different people around the table, and I'll be honest, some of them have been quite defensive and taken personally, that I've been being personal. I'm not. I know John works his socks off, and I appreciate it, and I know how hard he works, as do other members around this table. I'm not criticising that at all. I am raising some questions, A, that I have, and B, that I get put to me. I'm not going to go, they should come here and do it so that you can hear it, it's not just me. I'm not a Mr. Forbes. You don't think I'm a Mr. Forbes or some of the other members of the public that are keyboard warriors and making their questions, raising their questions through the thing. I'm here to face you face to face because I had questions I wanted answered. And some of them have been answered. I'm not sitting here thinking, still, yeah. If it's indefinite and if it's seen as a charity and you're supporting certain parts of the public, then it's fine. But I have a right to raise those questions.
No, that wasn't being questioned.
So this is about moving on. What other people think of this village, that's up to them. But they won't actually, perhaps don't know what's underneath some of it. The 50,000 a year that's taken from the precept to pay loans that have been incurred by council decisions that have taken place in the past and not managed properly. We have to move forward. But you can't move forward if you don't learn from the mistakes of the past.
I could just...
Go on.
Just very, very quickly.
Very quickly, and then we'll move on if Duncan has any other issues to raise.
There was no disrespect meant at all. What I'm trying to say is I've come from a parish council background. And I understand the way that the finances work. I understand that side of it. And I think I've seen, since I've been here, clearly the understanding of what's gone on in the past and the dealing with those issues is very, very good. The way it's being managed now is being professionally handled with the RFO, clerk, etc. These things are happening. It's going to take time to get things back on an even keel. I think that's understandable. But my main point was, we are socially responsible to a large community, and we see this as being an opportunity to engage with the public, have a central place for people to be. That's all I was trying to make. And Barley would have ripped your right arm off or something like that.
Sure, they would.
Thank you. Any other different issues you wish to raise, Mr.
Baker? No, that was just a couple of points I want to raise, and thank you for your answers. And please, I don't wish any of you to take anything personally.
Okay. Any other questions? No. Okay, thank you very much then. And then the final agenda item is 11, the annual Melbourne Parish Council Award. Sadly, we don't have either of the recipients with us tonight. Sorry, Duncan, we overlooked you.
It's
all
next year.
But let's just talk about the awards. And then we will make sure that the recipients receive them. The first one, if you remember, at the end of April council meeting, we noted that Councillor Gatwood had retired, and we noted that she had been a councillor for many years, and at that stage we couldn't remember quite how many years.
1979.
Yes. No, give it away, don't give it away. I'm building up. So Councillor Sherwin has nominated ex-Councillor Gatwood for a community award, and he has put together some information on her history. So I'm going to read that out now so that we all know about Rosemary's contribution to the village and to the parish council. So it's an honour and a pleasure to make this presentation to a councillor whose term of office dates back to the last century. Rosemary joined Melbourne Parish Council in 1979, and Councillor Sherwin believes in those days it met in one of the upstairs rooms in the village college. The changes that have been seen in Melbourne: the High Street was the main A10 in the days before the bypass. Were there traffic lights at the cross then? Councillor Sherwin's not quite sure, but we did then have our own police station. And typical of Rosemary's concern for village history, she was the councillor who suggested the cul-de-sac outside the hub be called Broxbank in recognition of Constable Broxbank's long service to Melbourne. I think Councillor Sherwin thinks this exemplifies how Rosemary appreciated and supported our village traditions. While she's been on the parish council, she served on just about every committee at some time or other. She chaired the Conservation Committee during a very expansive area for Melbourne, and also chaired the play areas, footpaths, highways and others, and chaired the council when the New Road Cemetery was opened, hence the commemoration plaque and tree planted there. Input into planning committee has helped prevent several monstrous proposals being slipped in over the years, and because of the village knowledge that Rosemary had, we were always advised when the village character was not being respected. We now have a splendid BMX site just off London Way. This used to be the Rural District Council rubbish dump, but the earlier council committees on which Rosemary served developed it first as a nature reserve and then further into the BMX site that it is today. Footpaths, Millennium Woods, Stockbridge Meadows, and not forgetting the garden at 83 High Street, which was the old British Legion hut site and is now a peaceful seated garden. These are all beneficiaries of Rosemary's concern for the environment and public access, and what a lovely physical tribute they are to the village. Even the village sign is mounted on a pillar of oak, English oak, that Rosemary personally donated when the old sign collapsed in 2005. All this dedication and determination is the reason for us having this little ceremony today, to give the certificate to you as a thank you for what you've done for Melbourne. So we're wishing Rosemary a very happy retirement, and hope that she has very good memories of her time on Melbourne Parish Council. So here is the certificate. We have to thank the clerk for his artistic, because it's moved on. They were much plainer last year. So our clerk has made it look really nice. So thank you to Rosemary. And then the second one is to the team that produced Melbourne Magazine. So it's in acknowledgement of your commitment to serving others and your community, in thanks and recognition for your continued service to Melbourne residents, in recognition of your contributions, time, personal knowledge and expertise. So I certainly want to second that. I think Melbourne Magazine is a wonderful
Melbourne Magazine intend to perhaps invite Rosemary to be interviewed in the next edition, perhaps?
I did suggest it.
It's already been done.
Yes. It's in this one, but I suggested.
Has it
come
out
yet?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
It's imminent.
We've got ours over the weekend. Ooh. Ooh. preferential. Okay, so that is the end of our agenda. So I will close the meeting.